Stories told of a man who had a particular spot just out of the town in which he lived that he loved to retreat to. It was an ideal retreat, secluded on the banks of the river. It was a rather fast-moving river, but at this particular point, it kind of turned a bend, slowed down. It wasn't well known by others, and it was just a delightful place to get away, and you could relax, you could fish, you could read, you could do whatever you wanted, and you forgot that you were a long way away, you were very close to your work, and felt you were a long way away. One day he was lying there in the shade, resting and enjoying himself, and all of a sudden he heard some shouts and cries coming from upstream, and he jumped up and got up just in time to see somebody obviously caught in the middle of the current being swept down the stream, and he jumped into the river. Dragged that particular person to shore at considerable risk to himself, and just got to the riverbank, and there was another shout and another cry, and he turned around and there was somebody else, jumped back into the river and dragged that person to shore, and the process kept repeating itself over and over and over until finally he'd given every ounce of energy that was in him. And all he could do was stand on the riverbank, helpless to go in and watch as people were swept by, because there was a falls not far away from them, inevitably on their way to destruction unless something miraculous happened. And all he could do was kind of look up to heaven with a groan from his soul and say, "Oh Lord, what's gone wrong upstream?" It doesn't take much to look at the world in which we live and recognize that something's gone wrong. You can look at the decay, you can look at the devastation, you can look at the dysfunction. It's all around us. And we see it in homes, we see it in individual lives, we see our society, and we know something's gone terribly wrong. And as you begin to walk your way upstream to find out where it went wrong and where all of this is being somehow dumped into the stream, you inevitably come at some point in the way to the home and to the family. America's families and homes are in trouble. And it shouldn't surprise us that a society gets in trouble when its homes get in trouble, because no society can rise above the level of its families. Home is a place where people are built. It's a place where characters are forged. It's a place where values are shaped and nurtured and developed. And that's why when God sets out the principles of how to live the good life, the first human relationship that he talks about is the family. On Sunday mornings, we're looking at the Ten Commandments together through these summer months, and I'd like you to go back to them with me this morning. We're stepping out of order a bit. Because it's Father's Day, we're going to go from the third commandment to the fifth commandment. And we're looking at them out of Exodus, but I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 5, because the Ten Commandments are recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now let me remind you as you turn that we're challenging you not only to be studying these with us Sunday morning by Sunday morning, but to memorize them. And I believe there are some memory cards on the table outside. They ran out quickly last week, but little cards that will help you and your family. And we're challenging you. And fathers, I can't think of a better challenge on Father's Day. If this is the day in which others are acknowledging you as father and honoring you for that, here's a good Father's Day challenge and responsibility. Lead your family in memorizing the Ten Commandments. And so by September, by Labor Day, we'll be able to share together in joy that we've learned this part of God's Word and notched it away in our mind. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, and rather than reading the entire Ten Commandments, let's just read this 16th verse. It is slightly different than the way it's given in the book of Exodus. As Moses repeats these, he adds a couple of phrases. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord, as Yahweh your God, has commanded you, so that you may live long. And here's another part that's added. And it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother, as Yahweh your God has commanded you, so that you may live long. And that it may go well with you in the land Yahweh your God is giving to you. Now, before we go any further, I want to stop and just make an observation that's very simple, and yet it's very important. The family is important, but it is not all important. The family is vital. The family, in a certain sense, is central, but in another sense, the family is not central. Why do I say that? Because this is the fifth command and not the first command. Before ever God comes to speak about how a family is to be and what it means to honor father and mother and to bring into being the whole thinking that we're to have about the family, he first of all has talked about our relationship to him. There are two ways in which we can make mistakes about the family. One is to downgrade it, to circumvent it, to undercut it, to criticize it. And we're struggling with family values in the society in which we live. That's a significant danger, and it needs to be looked at and warned and guarded against. But there's another danger, kind of as a reaction to the pendulum that swings this way against the family, is another kind of pendulum, often in Christian circles, that's in great danger of making an idol of the family, of not giving the family its true and significant place. And so a Christian knows that the Lord Jesus himself said, unless a person chooses me above father or mother or wife or children, brothers and sisters, he's not worthy of me. And just as the Ten Commandments says, I'm to be first, so my leadership in the family needs to come and nail down a truth that Joshua is going to nail down in the life of his nation. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I don't know of any greater gift than a father can give for his family than to nail that down as the value. As for me and my house, we're the Lord's. And we're not going to make the family the end in itself. The Lord's the end in itself. And our family is going to be bound in to serving and being what God calls us to be. Now, I want you to think with me through the fifth commandment. And I want to think with you in the middle. Think with me about the promise here, because this is unique in the Ten Commandments, that there's this kind of promise given. But it's really a clue, to the underlying meaning of this commandment. Honor your father and mother as Yahweh your God has commanded you. Why? So you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land Yahweh your God is giving you. Now, we know from Exodus, in the book of Exodus it says, that you may live long in the land Yahweh your God is giving you. Here it says that you may live long and do well in the land. Now what I want you to understand is both sides of that relate to living in the land. And you need to set back and remember where these are being given. They're being given to the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. God is calling them to go into the promised land, the land he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're going to live in that land in a covenant relationship with him. And when he says, I want you to honor your parents so that you may live long in the land, he's not primarily thinking about individuals living long lives. There may be an application there. When he says, so that it may be well for you in the land, he's not thinking about individual prosperity. He's addressing the nation. And he's saying, my desire for you is to enjoy life in the land and to know blessing in the land that I'm giving as my covenant people. And national prosperity and national longevity, covenant continuity, is related to honoring your father and mother. Now, take your Bibles and walk with me for a minute through some other passages, but nail this down first. The family's essential to national survival. The family's essential to spiritual well-being and prosperity. That's what Moses is telling the people from the lips of God about what it means to be God's people. Honoring father and mother is central to that. But take that promise so that it may be well with you, so that you may live long in the land and it may go well with you. And let's just read several other passages. And I want you to notice a very important connection that I think is central to this. The promise, you see, I think is pointing us to understand what the family's all about. Why should we honor our father and mother? Just because they're our father and mother? On one part, yes. But for something more than that. Look at chapter 5, a little bit further down, verse 32. So be careful, Moses writes, to do what Yahweh your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or left. Walk in all the way Yahweh your God has commanded you. Notice. So that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. Exactly the same promise. These are the commands, decrees, and laws Yahweh your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands so that I give you, here again, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. There it is again. And that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now turn with me to chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, and this is a great section. Beginning at verse 15 is where I want to read. Remember, we're thinking about the promise. Verse 15, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Deuteronomy 20, now verse 16. I command you today to love Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Here it is again. Then you will live and increase, and Yahweh your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live and you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Yahweh is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One other passage over the page in chapter 32. Chapter 32, verse 45. And there's many others I could read that have this same note. I'll try and clarify it in a minute. Verse 45, when Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said, take to heart all the words I've solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. Those words ought to be underlined. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. By them, you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Now let me make the point. Everywhere in the book of Deuteronomy, when it talks about living long in the land and doing well, it is by obedience to the Lord and obedience to the commands of the Lord. That is the way you live long in the land and you do well. Now the conclusion is this. We are to honor our father and mother so that we may live, do well and live long in the land the Lord is giving us. Why? Because father and mother have as their primary task teaching us to love the Lord and obey his commandments. I honor my father and mother and I get the same results as if I obey God and do his commandments, because my primary task as a parent is to see to it that when my parents or my children honor me, they obey God. The family is the fundamental conduit of spiritual values and of moral values, of love for God and living before God. And everywhere through the book of Deuteronomy, it's not just do what mom and dad say, it's do what mom and dad say because they're living as God would have them live. And when you honor your parents, you're going to end up honoring Yahweh. And built into that is a tremendous responsibility and principle that the promise tells me what I as a parent am called by God to do and how to live out my life. Turn with me back again, not just this time to Deuteronomy 5, but the chapter just after that, Deuteronomy chapter 6. See, within the covenant community, parents are people who are to know and love and trust God and walk before Him. And parental authority is not an end in itself. Parental authority is a means of coming before God's authority and learning to know Him and walk before Him. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, having established this in verse 4, we read the famous statement about Israel, or a famous statement about God that Israel quoted as their own affirmation. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now notice, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Four words, I think, describe what a parent is called by God to be. Robert Coles has done a great deal of work with children. He teaches psychology at Harvard University. And he writes this, I think that what children in the United States desperately need is a moral purpose. They're getting parents who are very concerned about getting them into the right colleges, buying the best clothing for them, giving them an opportunity to live in neighborhoods where they'll live fine and affluent lives and where they can be given the best toys, go on interesting vacations, and all sorts of things. Parents work very hard these days, and they're acquiring things they feel are important for their children, and yet vastly more important things are not happening. They're not spending time with their children, at least not very much. And then he goes on to say they're not impressing values on their children, at least not very deeply. So what's the calling of a father and mother that undergirds the statement, honor your father and mother? First of all, that parents are to model. So the statement says these things are to be in your heart. They are to be things that are the fabric of your life so that your children can look at you and they can see in the life you live the urgency of knowing God and walking before God and obeying His commandments and living as He would have you live. Have them on your heart. You cannot possibly have them in your children's heart if they're not in your heart. Teach. Impress them on your children. Talk about them. So if modeling is the fundamental responsibility of a parent, and just think, a father on Father's Day, my children are forever in their lives going to associate God the Father with me because they first learned about Father by what they saw in my life. That is the scariest responsibility I face in my life. But I look back on my father and I can think of many of his failings, but my father modeled for me what it means to love God. And I can think of hard choices he made. And I never doubted he loved God. And my father modeled for me what it meant to love a wife. And I have never gotten over the fact that my dad loved my mother. And I learned what love was like in seeing that sacrificial commitment spelled out. And I knew what it was like to be loved, despite all of the failures and shortcomings that I became very much aware of. He modeled for me the most fundamental issues of life. And he taught me. And my mother taught me. And they ingrained within me biblical truths, not in some kind of formal setting simply, but as the commandment says, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And that whole picture of walking along the road tells me that a parent is not only to model and to teach, but they're to guide. They're to walk the path of life and they're to give direction to the path of life and a sense of counsel and insight. So that I walk as God would have me walk. And then a parent's responsibility is correction. To teach me the ultimate values of life. Lou Holtz now coaches Notre Dame. He used to coach the University of Arkansas. And a number of years ago, they were going to play in the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day. And just before the game, he sent home a couple of the star players, All-American quality players at the University of Arkansas, three of them. And he announced, we'll play in the Orange Bowl without them. And the reporters came around. It was a national story. And he simply said, they broke the rules. Well, he came under tremendous pressure, but the pressure dissipated a little bit when they won the game. Well, then he went on to coach for a little bit at University of Minnesota, and he coached at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame was coming out to play University of Southern California at a time when USC used to challenge for national championships, if you can remember that far back. But it was the eve of the game. They were ranked 1 and 2. And again, two of his star players were sent back. And again, the reporters, what in the world are you doing? They broke the rules. And, well, it went on that Notre Dame won the game. But afterwards, he talked to the reporters and asked why he did this kind of thing. And he said, it's more important that we teach young people to discipline their lives than it is that we win football games. Now, whatever you think about Lou Holtz as a coach, he's got his handle on what's exactly right. The parents called to minister correction, to teach ultimate values and shape lives. Now, it's in that context, and I don't want you to miss it. We honor father and mother, but the underlying assumption is, in honoring father and mother, we will obey Yahweh our God and will walk in His commandments because they're modeling and teaching and guiding and correcting so that I may keep my feet on God's path. So now the command comes. Honor your father and mother. Word honor is an interesting word. It quite literally means to give weight, to treat with importance. It's the same word that elsewhere is translated glorify. But here about it, it has about the idea, give weight to your parents. Give importance to your parents. Give value to your parents. It's used in a variety of ways. For example, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8, it's used in a context that shows it means to value highly. In Psalm 91, it's used as a synonym for an expression that means to reach out in saving care and protection. It means to love and value deeply. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, a little bit different word is used. It's there as the word is to reverence, to revere, to respect. The opposite, I guess, is how we can get a handle on it. Exodus chapter 21, verse 15 says, you're not to curse, to speak against your parents. And the expression is put very strongly. Anyone, this verse, Exodus 21:17, anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. Verse 15, anyone who attacks, physically strikes his father and mother must be put to death. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21, talks about a rebellious son, a profligate and a drunkard who will not obey his parents, and the parents are commanded to bring them to the leaders of the city, and when they recognize that's how that person's behaving, the death penalty is again to be pronounced. And in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16, the statement is, cursed is everyone who dishonors, thinks lightly, disregards, speaks slightingly. Cursed is everyone who dishonors his father or his mother. Can you imagine what our society would be like if there was the death penalty for cursing and rebelling and striking parents? But it's a way of being solemnly reminded by God of the significance that we're to place on those who in some way are to represent Yahweh God to us and guide us in His way. Now the command comes to us in a very simple form. Honor your father and mother. I think it's appropriate to look back and think that's addressed to adults. It's quite clear in this context, to grown children. Honoring is a lifelong responsibility. And let me just quickly talk through, I think, some stages of this. At the most basic level, it means obedience from children. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, children are commanded, children, obey your parents. It's right in the Lord. And so there's the need for parents to recognize the need for obedience and to follow the direction and guidance that is given. Obedience. But a parent's responsibility begins to change, and our task as a parent is to give our children roots and wings and to let them go. And so obedience begins to move, and I honor my parents by obeying, but there comes a time where I move to adulthood. I was talking to somebody last week, and I'd love to think this through more, but you know, in Jewish society, there was the bar mitzvah, in which a young boy of 12 or 13, and then more recently the bat mitzvah, the daughter of the commandment, that's simply what the term means, son of the commandment or the daughter of the commandment, was introduced into adulthood. And now the whole relationship with parents changed in some way. And I thought maybe we need to think in Christian terms about how we could have a whatever kind of recognition of adulthood. And now we're going to treat you in a different way. And now we consider you in this different status. But young adults are called to respect their parents. And you grow older, you begin to see the difference between what your parents live and the values they sometimes profess, and there's a need to learn what it is to live with forgiveness toward your parents. To learn what it is to begin to cultivate an attitude of respect in a society that teaches you not to respect and not to value. And it strikes me that there are some commands. What are three things? Let me quickly suggest. And for those of you who are teenagers, and young adults, let me suggest here are three proverbs for you to think about that are marks of respect. The first is, honoring your parents means heeding their instruction. Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. Secondly, a respectful young adult accepts correction. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 32. He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. And there comes a time when we're convinced that we know all the answers and our parents don't know many, but honoring our parent means that we heed their advice and their direction. And thirdly, cultivate wisdom. I've been grateful for the number of times in my own family that I've been able to look at my children and remember Proverbs 10, verse 1. A wise son, a wise daughter, heeds his father's instructions, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. Cultivate wisdom. A wise son makes a glad father, Proverbs 10, 1 says. Now we begin to move to the process of adults. And now I begin to change, but I'm still called to esteem my parents and to value my parents and to live out that. Proverbs says, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what's right. How do I honor my parents? By living a life of wisdom. If you're wise, my heart's glad. I know the greatest gift I can give to my parents is to be living a life that honors God and is based on wisdom. And then he goes on to say, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. My parents are both with the Lord. And in 1984, my mother passed away, and she had cancer for about 5 months. One of the great delights of my life was to spend those 5 months, not to see her in suffering, but to have had that time and to try and let her know. But you know, the worst thing in the world would have been to come to those last 5 months and try to put everything in order. And as an adult, in some way, I had tried to practice honoring my father and mother. I didn't have the privilege of ever living in the same community. I didn't have the challenge of living in the same community because it's a mixed blessing. I recognize that those things happen. But I made sure that I was on the phone every week. I made sure that we planned visits. I made sure that they had a sense that that there was a place there for them. My father died of a heart attack. He died on my birthday. And the phone call didn't come. I couldn't figure out why. Why didn't Dad phone? Well, I wonder if he forgot, because he was getting that way. And then his body was discovered the next day. He died just before he phoned me, sitting in his chair with the phone pulled out, ready to phone me, apparently, and he'd had a heart attack and died. I remember it was a funny feeling about 2 years later watching a movie that wasn't a very good movie called Dad. And all of a sudden, just weeping in that movie, realizing I hadn't had a chance to say goodbye. But the wonderful thing was, I didn't have anything to say goodbye other than goodbye, if you understand what I'm saying. I didn't have any catching up to do. I didn't have any, you know, going back and saying, I wish. We were in the process of buying a house and building a place for him to come and stay with us in that time. Listen, I want to say this to those of you who are adults, and you know where your parents and some of you are in that stage where they're getting on. Make it right. The hardest thing in the world is not to be able to say it, because it's too late. And then our parents get older, and honoring them means going counterculture. My wife's father had a stroke, and he had to be institutionalized. But the saddest thing in the world was walking into that place, seeing adults of considerable age in these terrible physical conditions they were in, kind of the backside and curse of modern medicine, if I can put it that way. And nobody ever came. And I watched my wife take my father-in-law's hands and talk to him gently and graciously. He wasn't going to remember 3 minutes from now that she'd been there. And I watched the love and I watched the care, and I began to understand in a fresh way what honoring parents is all about. But we're in a society that disposes, that organizes our convenience supremely around that. And honoring our parents is a lifelong task. Even if our parents are dead, I'm committed to honor my parents by living well and living righteously to the glory of God. But I can't stop, even though time's catching us here, without recognizing that Scott Peck, in his latest book, says, the Fifth Commandment's the only statement in the Bible probably that needs to be changed. Well, Scott Peck's got some good stuff, and he's got some really strange stuff. But why that? Well, he says the problem is there's so many dishonorable parents. And that's the problem, isn't it, for many of us? Because some of us sit here and they say, Enrique, it's all well and good for you. Your parents loved you, brought you up in the discipline of the Lord. They stayed together. They didn't abuse you. And that's right. Given my parents were sinners, they were good parents. I mean, all of us are imperfect parents. Some of us have known abuse, sexual, physical, verbal, emotional. Some of us have known abandonment. And on Father's Day, we don't have the slightest idea where in the world our father is. Some of us have known manipulation and control. And we still know it. Every time we're with our mother or our father, there go the games again. And they're using us and manipulating us. Or they're just living life without us. Now, I'm not asking anybody to understand honor means denial. Although it's possible to excuse ourselves from things in our life by accusing our parents. But given all of that, the issue is parental failure is there. How do I honor a dishonorable parent? Well, I guess one thing that needs to be said is the Ten Commandments are not legal documents that are covering every exception. Moses is going to give us the command, thou shalt not kill, but it doesn't talk about self-defense. So it doesn't cover every situation. Thou shalt not bear false witness, but what's about Nazis knocking on my front door saying, are you hiding Jews when I've got them? Doesn't deal with those tough moral dilemmas about truth-telling to people who've got evil intentions. So honoring your father and mother is a broad strokes requirement. But I think also there's a command here. Honoring parents doesn't necessarily require, it would be lovely if it did, warm feelings, but I am to honor my parents even when I'm struggling with what I'm feeling about them. Honoring my parents does not mean denial. They were good when they were rotten. It doesn't mean excusing them. It doesn't mean capitulating to their control. Well, they said, I've got to come and do this, I'll come and do that. Honoring them doesn't mean continuing to live as a child when you're an adult in your relationship to them. It certainly doesn't mean obedience in doing wrong. You do not honor your parents by doing wrong. But honor does in some sense call for appropriate respect. That I, as it were, ransack their life to find those things that I can affirm in a positive way. It means reaching and not rejecting. Now, there may come a time when I've got so much that I've got to work through that I need to make sure that I've genuinely come to the place of the Lord and I've been able to give it back into His hands. But the attitude even of postponing that time where I'm building that relationship is I need to recognize that I'm called to reach to my parents. And I'm called under God to forgive them. Now, forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. Forgiveness is a lonely work that I do in the presence of God where I ask God to change my heart and soften them and to let go. You don't forgive things that you can excuse. You forgive things that are sins against you. And I need to walk the hard road of crucifixion to forgive. Because the alternative to forgiving is to harbor bitterness. And if you harbor bitterness, you know what you're going to do? You're going to turn around and reproduce the same thing in your children. And it's going to be in them because they're going to feel it, even if they can't see it in you. And I look back, there was something went wrong in my father's relationship to his father. I don't know what it was. But I know in some way I'm a carrier of that. And in some sad way, my children are carriers of that. Because I see things in me, and I see where it's coming. And if you don't come to grips with that and forgive what needs to be forgiven and let it go, then you just become an ongoing toxic spreader of those things. But as I reach and I ask God to open my heart, even where I've been wounded deeply, and even where I've been sinned against, and even when there's so much wrong, Father, in some small way, I was shown about you by my parents. Much was garbage, but I want to honor what I can honor. And God begins to build that into our lives. Well, that only opens a can of worms for some of you. There's a famous poem that goes like this. Lord, give us men. A time like this demands strong men, strong minds, great hearts, true faith, ready hands, men whom the lust of office does not kill, men whom the spoils of office cannot buy, and on it goes. It was written after the Civil War, about a time of crisis. Lord, give us men. You know the problem? The Lord never answers that prayer. The Lord never gives us men. He only gives us boys and children and girls. And He calls us to raise boys and girls. And so for those of us who are parents, honor your father and mother has something to say about how we honor our parents, but it also says, Lord, am I honoring you so that in following me, my children would live long and do well in the land you want to give them. And the other part of it is, am I honoring my parents so that in honoring them, I am obeying and honoring God? Father, thank you for our parents. Some of us find that easier to say than others. But thank you. But thank you that beyond the failing of human parents, there lies your perfection. Help us to find in you what our parents, at their best or at their worst, could not give us. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, help us to honor you by honoring our parents. In Christ's name, amen.